Father God, we have come to you as your family, as your body. Father, we confess to you that we have failed you in so many ways through this week. God, we failed to proclaim you. We failed to demonstrate your love and your concern for your people. God, we have failed you in so many ways. And we cry out to you for your forgiveness to us. And we know that you freely forgive us when we cry out to you. And so we do, God. We come and we lay our burdens down. We leave them with you. You are our God. You're a source of strength. And Father, we come and lay our burdens before you. And we think, Lord, of even the health needs among us, God. We lay those before you. And we pray for Salma, and we praise you, God, for the measure of health and strength you've given her since her surgery this past week. But we pray your continued strength on her and healing upon her. Be with Ed and her family, God, and may they feel your presence. We pray the same for Seaver, God. We pray that you would heal him and restore him. And God, restore him unto yourself. And we pray for the Rebrina and Scar families, God, that you'd be very close to them. We think of Nathan and Nathan Wilson. And God, we pray specifically for healing on him as well. And Lord, that you would give him your peace as well as for Brad and Glenda. God, be very close to them. For Clayton, God, we praise you for what you're doing there. And we pray for Vernon and Lindsay and the Pease family, God. May you just continue to encourage them. Same for Doug and for Henry and Ruth and Herb and Lori and Connie and Megan. God, we lift them to you. We lay them before you. And we pray that in each situation, God, you know each situation. Everyone we've prayed for, God, you know. You know what's required. You know what healing is necessary. And you know, God, the doctors and the nurses and the situations that each person's in. And so we pray and lay our burdens down. Father, we come as your people and we pray for this whole development that we're walking through. And God, while it's a building of faith for us, we pray that we would continue to be obedient to you, not waver in our faith. God, we don't want to not trust you. We want to trust you completely, Father, and we do that. We lay our burden down in regard to the development, God, in regard to the neighbors, and God, even how the enemy is attacking, we just come to you and pray for your protection on us as your people. Keep us strong. Keep us unified as your people, as we walk in obedience to you, Father. Lord, we want nothing more than to do your will and your purpose. And so we pray that even this morning as we celebrate together this table, that we would be unified as your people in spirit and in purpose. Through the power of Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord, we pray. Amen. Well, worship team, that was great this morning. Thank you. I actually got a tear in my eye and quite emotional standing up here, but thank you very much. No, it's great. Well, I've been really enjoying where we've been walking with the Old Testament saints over this past while, and I love how the progression has occurred, how we've understood it, and I'm excited about this morning. I plan, as you know, some of you know, I plan well in advance where we're going, where we're heading, and get the message together, and God often changes it for me on Thursday. Didn't happen for me this week. God was good, and I'm rejoicing that. It's been a great week. So, two elderly ladies have been friends for many decades, long time, and over the years they had shared all kinds of activities, all kinds of adventures. And lately, their activities have been limited to meeting just a few times a week to knit. You know what knitting is? How many of you know what knitting is? I noticed you guys put your hands up. That's great. They were knitting, and one day they were knitting, the one lady, she looked at the other and she said, "Now, don't get mad at me, please." She knit a few pearls. Is that what you call it? Knit a few pearls. Don't get mad at me. I know we've been friends for a long time, but I just can't think of your name. I've thought and I've lamented, but I just can't remember it. Could you please just tell me your name? Your friend just glared at her like this. You know the stare. For 3 minutes, she just stared and she glared. Till finally she broke the ice by saying, "How soon do you need to know?" It's happened to me. A survey was taken among young teens in Canada, and it showed that teens valued friendships among the highest of value. And I don't think much has changed. I think it's still there, right? The same can be said of us as the people of God. Friendships are high in our value. However, if you also check the stats, you'll find that in this land of freedom, you will find many lonely people. People who find comfort in something else rather than other people. Maybe their television set or other avenues because of lack of friendship. And that's why I find our walk through the Old Testament giants so helpful, because we see time after time after time a people who are so encouraged by other people. We have sought out the obedience of Nehemiah, and we've understood the faith and trust of Abraham. And last week we saw the heart of God through King David and the greatest of Israel's kings. And now this morning we'll be spending time with the king maker. His name is Jonathan. And I only want us to just look at his life. More than that, I want us to learn from his life. A life of encouraging selflessness. And I hope this morning you will listen and you'll hear from God as you hear Jonathan's own words. And these are his own words. "My friends," listen, "my friends, you live in an age when winning at all costs and looking out for number one are exalted as high virtues." See, the Proverbs writer is most appropriate for us today. When he penned these words, Proverbs 20, verse 6, he said, "Most men will proclaim each of his own goodness, but who can find a faithful man?" People seem to have forgotten what it means to serve others or exhibit true loyalty to our Savior, Jesus Christ. In such a time as this, what I will tell you is so needed, because our world requires this. People need the Lord more than ever before. And our world needs Jesus Christ. I was listening the other day. There was a CD in the CD player in the vehicle, and as you know, typically I put my own music in, like Bach or Handel, and you know, and here was this worship CD and that was, you know, put in there, and there was a song, "What the World Really Needs is Jesus." I thought, what a great song. It just makes you want to get out there and tell people, you know. It's not about us. It's about others. That's the hallmark of the Christian life. Other thinking, not selfish thinking. Jonathan has credibility like no one else in the Bible to deliver such a message. While other people in David's life were trying to keep him down by putting limitations on him, Jonathan did the opposite. He lifted David up and he strengthened him so that he can meet his trials and beat his oppressors. Jonathan is such a key to unlocking encouragement for us this morning. Unlocking encouragement requires, first of all, servant thinking. Servant thinking. Now, if you look at 1 Samuel chapter 18, David and Jonathan became fast friends soon after David killed Goliath. We talked about that last week. And so now we're in 1 Samuel 18. If you look at this, look at these words of 1 Samuel chapter 18. Love this. After David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David. And he loved him as himself. From that day, Saul kept David with him and did not let him return to his father's house. And Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Jonathan took off the robe he was wearing and gave it to David, along with his tunic and even his sword, his bow, and his belt. Whatever Saul sent him to do, David did it so successfully that Saul gave him a high rank in the army. Now, you have to understand something. Saul sounds so wonderful, doesn't he? But Saul wasn't. He was out to get David. In fact, Celeste Holm, the film star of yesteryear, was quoted on one occasion as saying, "We live by encouragement, and we die without it, slowly, sadly, and angrily." The Lord knew that if David was ever to become king, he needed a friend, and who better than the very person who was next in line for the kingship, Jonathan. You see, in a way, Celeste is right. We live by encouragement. From this point on, Jonathan was willing to do anything to help David. And that was good, because David would need a lot of help. I mean, you think about this. The day David killed Goliath, everything changed in his life. Everything. You think of it. King Saul was jealous of David and constantly tried to destroy him. And King Saul was Jonathan's pop. It was his dad. The king was furious when the people sang, "Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands." You think of it. David's life was an emotional roller coaster. One moment, David was leading the army of Israel, and the next moment, he was hiding from the same army because Saul was deploying it to try to kill David. You think of it. David was often in over his head. His assignments from the king were difficult. The expectations of the people were very high. Without help, David would not survive. So at every turn, Jonathan helped David. And so now at this point, in this passage, it's wonderful because Jonathan walks over and he puts the tunic on David and he hands over his bow and he dresses David just like he is. Just like Jonathan. Put my robe on. Please put my robe on. Here, take my bow. Here, take this. You know why he didn't? He wanted to protect David. Because surely his father would not kill him if he looked like Jonathan, his son. See, in fact, I wondered, when I read through that passage, you got to think of it. Jonathan was next in line to be king, and here he is. He's, wait a minute, I got to protect David, because David's going to be the next king. I mean, I think I would have said, wait a minute. In fact, David, why don't you just walk outside right now, because the army's coming. I want you dead, buddy. I better make sure that David gets killed so that I'm next. That's how I would have thought. But that's the difference between a person who encourages and a person who doesn't. Because this made all the world of difference for David, for the nation, for the people. Because he thought like a servant. How are you at servant thinking? Doing to help, to assist, to serve. How easy it is for Christians to become attracted to theological truths only to exclude close relationships with one another. We need both, not either or. We need one another. That's what I love. Our fellowship ministry is based on the one another's within Scripture, because those one another's are commands. Love one another. Build up one another. Encourage one another. Those are great, great one another's. Our Lord Jesus gave such an example of this servant friendship. He said of himself, he said, that he came to serve, not be served. He also said that he calls us his friends. And when you think of the sacrifice that he gave as your friend, what a servant heart. His servant thinking took Jesus to the cross to be nailed there and die there. And he did it all alone. Rejected, deserted, even by those closest to him. And then placed in that tomb, he arose to victory. Defeated death once for all of us. In him we trust. In him we trust. Amen? In him we see the servant heart, and in him we need to think like a servant. Wait a minute, what can I do to help? How can I help? How can I serve? In fact, we heard this morning in a Sunday school class, well, it was Kevin Fast, all right? You can beat him up later. He allowed his wife, Leanne, to sleep in a couple of days. And I said to him, thanks a lot. No. By the way, where's Kevin? Kevin, I've forgiven you for that. I did that this morning while we... No, just kidding. But sir, how can I help? How can I serve? Now, what can I find wrong with this? Not... Okay, I gotta figure something I can nitpick about or backbite about or gossip about. There's got to be something. That's way too easy to do, folks. That's very simple. That's the tactic of the enemy, because it's easy to do. But how can I serve? How can I serve others? Unlocking encouragement requires, first of all, servant thinking. But secondly, it requires proper thinking. David scrambles in his dark days from cave to cave to escape the murderous threats of King Saul, and all the while he turned to his friend Jonathan for strength and encouragement. And at great risk to himself, Jonathan warned David and told him to hide out for a time. And if you look at 1 Samuel 19, verse 2, listen to these words. He warned him, "My father Saul is looking for a chance to kill you. Be on your guard tomorrow morning. Go into hiding and stay there. I will go out and stand with my father in the field where you are. I'll speak to him about you and will tell you what I find out." What a great friend. See, Jonathan, hoping to pacify his father and reconcile the king to his friend, he spoke well of David in chapter 19. Went out with his dad and he said, "Hey, Dad, you know that king, that David, he's great. He's a great guy. Well, you know, I got to tell you all the great things about David." Jonathan, "What? That guy? I'm jealous of him, you know? Don't talk to me about him, son." "But Dad, you got to understand, you got to see David's heart. David's got, I don't care. You hear me? I don't care. I want him dead." But Dad, see what an encourager does? And for a short while, Saul relented his attack, promising that David would not die by his hand. But soon, that bitterness went far. And soon the old animosities reasserted themselves, and Jonathan once again risked his life to help his dear friend. Jonathan did all he could to properly help his friend. And look at verse 20 of 1 Samuel. Look at these verses. I get excited. Don't mind me if I make blunders on the word, but this is great. "Then David fled from Naoth at Ramah and went to Jonathan and asked, 'What have I done? What is my crime? How have I wronged your father that he's trying to take my life?' 'Never,' Jonathan replied. 'You're not going to die. Look, my father doesn't do anything great or small without confiding in me. Why should he hide this from me? It's not so.' But David took an oath and said, 'Your father knows very well that I have found favor in your eyes. And he has said to himself, Jonathan must not know this or he will be grieved. Yet as surely as the Lord lives, as you live, there's only a step between me and death.' And Jonathan said to David," look at this, "Jonathan said to David, 'Whatever you want me to do, I'll do for you. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do for you.'" What a difficult statement. I mean, isn't it easy to think of self instead of others? Yeah, look at this cartoon. Look. "What's the matter, Mom? You have a worried look on your face.
Well, my doctor prescribed these pills for me. I'm supposed to take them from now on. You know, for the rest of my life?
So?
So why is this prescription marked no refill?
See, often we fall into the trap of thinking of self instead of the betterment of others. What empowered Jonathan to put David ahead of himself and serve him? I mean, after all, Jonathan was the prince of Israel, the rightful heir to the throne. I mean, he should have been the one to receive the crown, not David. He deserved it. He earned it. He'd been in the public eye with his father, King Saul. It should have been just a natural transition. From the moment Jonathan first met David, he understood David's potential. Jonathan saw the big picture. He stood back and he looked at what God desired. See, now that's critical to unlocking encouragement. See, often we get ourselves wrapped up inwardly and we don't look outwardly. In fact, I love what Dr. John Maxwell, my mentor in leadership, shared with me years ago when I first started ministry, and I'll never forget these words. He said, "If you overestimate your value, you may do things just to feed your ego. If you underestimate your value, you may become discouraged and neglect doing the things you can do." Good words. Proper perspective is necessary as we struggle through life, whether it be through the joys or the sorrows. When Jonathan saw David after he killed Goliath, the prince realized that David had the potential to be a better leader than his father or even himself. And Jonathan realized he was no longer the best person to ascend the throne because he wanted what God wanted. Do you take a moment to just step back and review a situation in order to think properly? It's so necessary for us to just take a step back and say, wait a minute, I got to look at the whole picture here. I got to see where I'm fitting in here. What's going on here? See, that's what Jonathan did. And the words of the Apostle Paul, they jump out at me because one of my favorite passages, Philippians. He said in Philippians 2, he said, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but consider others better than yourselves." That was Jonathan. That was him. He had everything to lose. His friendship to David, he had nothing to gain from it. When Jonathan saw him properly, he was free to treat others as they deserve to be treated. And that means preserving David's life and serving him. And Jonathan knew that helping David would benefit the kingdom more than promoting himself as Israel's future leader. Maybe today, you're sitting there thinking of yourself instead of others. That maybe you realize you need to just take a step back and relook at your marriage or maybe your family or maybe even your job or maybe you're no longer thinking proper spiritually about your life. Maybe you've just taken God out of the picture instead of placing him first in the picture. Maybe you're getting in the way from you being the encouraging person that God calls you to be. And unlocking encouragement requires servant thinking. It requires proper thinking. Lastly, you knew I'd get to this. Godly thinking. Look at verse 12. I love this passage. Look at verse 12. Jonathan said to David, "By the Lord, the God of Israel." 1 Samuel 20. Look at verse 12. "By the Lord, the God of Israel, I will surely sound out my father by this time, the day after tomorrow. If he is favorably disposed towards you, will I not send you word and let you know? But if my father is inclined to harm you, may the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely. If I do not let you know and send you away safely, may the Lord be with you as he has been with my father. But show me unfailing kindness like that of the Lord as long as I live, so that I may not be killed." Often our personal ambition clouds God's direction for our life. But Jonathan's godly thinking helped him to understand what God desired, even though it didn't benefit him personally. It didn't. It had nothing to do with him. Everything to do with God. It's like this small boy. Can I tell you this story? I just got to. Thanks, Drew. A small boy walked into a feed store. You know what I'm talking about. And he asked, he said, Mister, do you sell thick and feed? The clerk said, what? Come back when you can talk better. 2 weeks later, the boy returned. He said, hey, Mister, do you sell thick and feed? And the salesman said, wait a minute. He looked at the boy and said, you come back when you've learned to talk better. You don't come in here like this and do it. You come back when you can actually say it better. Another week passed. The boy returned. He said, Mister, would you like to buy a bunch of dead chickens? After I stumbled across that little story, I realized it said something. Actually, more like, how can I use this? It must say something. But today is the time to get the job done for the Lord. Now is the time to be that encourager like a Jonathan. Now is the time to just step back and look properly. Now is the time to be a servant. Now is the time to think godly. Today's the time. Today's the time to get it done. Today, more than ever, our world is in need of a good dose of encouragement. But I believe it's so difficult for us to do this because selfishness just gets in the way. Jonathan, he obeyed God, and he didn't whine about his rights. Jonathan gave up his own future on the throne to serve the rightful person who would take it. And the result was the reign of David was the greatest in Israel's history because he was so deeply committed to David's future. Jonathan ended up saving the entire nation of Israel from destruction. I'm so encouraged by Jonathan's words to us today, because that's our hope. Hope for what is ahead. Hope for what's in store for us. We are in this together, and God has called us to this together. What joy. What joy in knowing that we've been called to be encouragers, because that equals unselfishness. You cannot be selfish and be a true encourager. It just doesn't fit. See, the greatest need in a person's life is to have a Jonathan beside him or her. Because everybody influences somebody. It just depends on how you influence them. The greatest need in a person's life is to have a Jonathan beside him or her. Don't wait. Don't put it off any longer. Look around you. In fact, look around this very moment. And look at what is around you. Start thinking about the person hurting beside you or around you. Think of the person who's maybe single or the person who longs for companionship. Think of the widow or the widower. Think of that person who just had surgery or who's walking through a difficult cancer or illness. Think of the other person for a change. Think properly. Think godly. Think like a servant. See, this table, Kevin had it right. This table, it's necessary for us as the body of Christ to embrace one another and encourage one another and build one another up and forgive one another before we come to this table. Because in fact, I will tell you something. In Israel, when the Christians in Israel partake of this table, you know what they do? They say, when we're going to partake here, then that means in partaking that we're going to forget everything bad that's ever been done to us in the past. That sheds a whole new light on this table. Because if you're coming and you're saying, okay, I'm going to take of the body, I'm going to take of the blood of the Lord, then that means that I have dealt with everything in the past so I can move forward. I'm never going to bring it up again because I've dealt with it. When we take of this table, this bread, this cup, we, in doing so, each time drink judgment to ourselves. That's why it's necessary to build up one another, encourage one another, love one another, and forgive one another.